welcome to the Mum Style Business Podcast. I'm your host, Annalise Warne, a marketing agency CEO, business strategist, digital marketing mentor, wife, and mama of four little ones. Now here, we combine ambition and motherhood and well-being, and we help you leverage the skills you already have to build a flexible business that gets you both the income and the freedom that you started it to achieve. Stay tuned for conversations with inspirational and successful women in business, as well as practical marketing strategies and tips that you can action right away. So let's get into it. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are we? Welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in today. I don't take that for granted. And I'm really excited about talking about what we're going to talk about today, because I think this is something that affects all of us at different times. And it can kind of be hard to recognize sometimes. And so I would like you, as you listen, I really want you to critically self-assess your behavior as it is now, and maybe it has been in the past, to really dig in deep, because often we don't do that. Often we do what other people are doing, or we take the advice of people that we ask, or we base our decisions on our feelings. And that's all fine, and that should all kind of be a part of a decision-making process. But in order to make better decisions, and decisions that actually are aligned with what we want to achieve and moving towards our goals and all of that, we have to put on a more critical hat sometimes. And so that's what I want to talk about today, because often in business, we can be really impatient. We can be really, really impatient. And I'm sure that that is an indication of what we're dealing with in society and social media, and everything being, you know, 15 seconds this and 35 seconds that, and, you know, instant everything from, you know, popcorn to viral posts and everything in between. But because of this instant gratification and being able to download an app or get our news, you know, that's what we want in business. It's just by default, we want things now. And of course we want things now, because we run a business because we want freedom, and we want freedom of time and money. And of course, if we've determined, oh my gosh, I want to earn this amount of money, or I want to do this thing that I love and I want to serve these clients, or I want to leave the job, or I want to, you know, be able to go on a holiday, of course, we want to do those things now and we don't want to have to wait for them. Unfortunately, life isn't like that. And I think we forget about the reality of time when we live our lives so much online, because the online world is like that. It's instant, it's fast, it's, you know, there's nothing, it's all very transient, it's all very trendy. But if you look at the world isn't like that. It's actually not natural for things to be instant. Think about, you know, growing a vegetable garden. Think about having a child. Think about, you know, falling in love. Like, all of these things are not instantaneous. You cannot plant a seed and harvest your veggie garden the next day. It just doesn't work like that. And it's the same, right? Having a baby, it's a 9-month process. The tide of the ocean, it comes in and out, right? The moon has cycles. That's life. That's how the world works. They're the principles of the world that we live in. Things work in a cyclical nature, and things take time to establish. And business is actually no different. Yes, you can have quick fixes, you can have get rich quick schemes, you can have viral posts. But a real business that is built on sustainability, in terms of, you know, being there in 10 years, being there in 20 years, and maybe it'll look different, but in order to have a business that is going to stand the test of time and be there for you for as long as you want it to be there for you, it's not going to be done with quick and dirty techniques. It's just not. You're not going to be around and have a healthy profit and have a business that you love in 5 years if you are not in this for the long term. So I think we can forget that when we are, you know, we're launching this or we're doing this and we're going in kind of 6 week runways or whatever it is. But realistically, even if you have an incredible launch and it's six figures, that is only going to last you so long. In a year's time, will you still be in business if all you did was that 1 6-week launch cycle? No. So everything that you put in place, you want to be able to last, or you want to be able to be an asset that you're going to be able to use again and again. You want the income coming into your business to be recurring of some description if you can, because that's going to take the pressure off. So my point is that good things that are going to stand the test of time are going to take time to set up. And again, we can forget this when we are going, oh my gosh, I just want money, or I want this result, or I want to go on this holiday, or I want to quit my job, or, you know, I want to hire this person, whatever that next thing is for you and your business. And so we can create a plan. We can say, oh my gosh, I'm going to give myself 1 month to get to this goal, or 3 months to get to this goal. And that's amazing. We want to have goals. We want to have big, scary goals so that we really test ourselves and really get to go full out and try and see what we can achieve. And all of that's incredible and amazing. But it has to be part of kind of a bigger picture too. And I encourage my clients, and we work together on 12-week plans where we have a specific outcome that we want to achieve in those 12 weeks, or three outcomes even. And each one of those has different projects and deliverables that we're going to do throughout the 12 weeks. And so we're going to have that plan, but the business doesn't stop in 12 weeks. It's one part of the overall puzzle. So you might have your 5-year plan or your 10-year plan. In my case, I know that the business that I run it in the way that I run it now will probably be for the next 15 years. And after all of my children are adults, then I'm going to expand the business in a new area, which I'll tell you about another time, that doesn't suit my lifestyle while my kids are at home. And so again, like I already know what that will look like broadly. And so I'm in it for the long game. Now, you don't need to know what your business is going to look like in 5 years or 10 years. All you need to know is that you want to still be doing it, or you want to know that you're setting your business up so that it can be sold, so that, you know, you'll be doing something different in 5 or 10 years. Either way, if you're going to set up a business up to be sold, it has to be built on sound business principles, not transient, quick and dirty social media tactics. Like, those two things are not congruent. Those two things don't go together. Doesn't mean we can't use social media, doesn't mean we can't jump on some trends that we really love, but our business is not going to be built on that. So the problem is that if we aren't building our business on 12-week plans, and those aren't a piece of a bigger puzzle that we kind of have an idea of, and yes, things are going to change because life is life, but we can be tempted, without that long vision, we can be tempted to change things prematurely and cut things short when they needed to more time to mature. It's like pulling the tomatoes off the branch when they're, you know, cherry tomato size and green. We haven't given them a chance to actually ripen and do what they wanted to do. We have decided that we want it by X amount of time. And if it doesn't happen by X amount of time, that it's not going to happen. And so we pull the pin. And I see this so many times in business. And I get it. If you're saying, you know, I'm going to invest myself in this amount of time, or I'm going to do this project, but just make sure that the timelines that you're putting in place are realistic for what it is that you're trying to achieve, and that it is almost linked to, we need some data. Because your 3 month project of testing something out and my 3 month project of testing something out and Sally's version of 3 months of testing something out might all look very different. Maybe we're not comparing apples with apples, right? Maybe you're comparing your launch to someone who's been going for 10 years. Maybe you're comparing your launch to someone who has a list of 25,000 when you have a list of 2,000, right? There are so many things we need to think about. And so even if you're putting a time period on it, I'd encourage you to really question that as well in terms of, have you used that time and actually given it everything that you could have given it? Like, have you really watered that garden? Have you fertilized that garden? Have you, now you can tell I'm not really a gardener because it's all going to fall down from here. Have you weeded the garden, right? Have you done everything, or have you just planted the seed and gone, okay, I'm waiting my 3 months and now we're done. Like, okay, that didn't work. Yeah, of course it kind of didn't work. And I say this so much because so many of us start an online business because we can see the potential there. We can see the opportunity. We have a skill that we want to leverage, which is amazing, right? This is like my favorite part. I love helping people realize that they have a valuable skill that they can sell and they can do life on their own terms. It's like the best thing on the planet. And because of that, often the people that I work with and the people in my community are not coming from a business background. And when they're not coming from a business background, maybe they've never managed a P&L, maybe they don't understand these longer term timeless business principles, and they're judging their success off what they see of people who've been doing this for 10 years and thinking, oh, well, this is what they're doing and I'm doing the same. Like, they're doing these five posts on social and I'm doing these five posts on social, so, you know, I should have got like the same results. And it's, again, it's not how it works. There's often so much more to the picture that we don't see. Like, often we just use the tools that we can see that other people are using, and we don't realize that they're leveraging collaboration, that they're leveraging affiliates, that they have a database of people that they are working from, that their social media tactics of what we see actually are backed up by having a, you know, DM conversations and relationships or email marketing or, you know, private podcasts or whatever it is, that their things are often deeper than they seem with people who have been running their business for longer. Like, maybe they have other back end email funnels. Like, there's so many different things that could be happening. So when we cut things short, often we're looking really surface level. Like, I have an offer, I put it on my social media, and now that didn't work. People didn't like it. People didn't buy it. So I'm starting again. And you have invested hours, tens of hours, hundreds of hours in this, you know, getting this thing off the ground and designing it and getting a landing page and a logo and all of the stuff that feels fun and creative. And when it comes to actually putting it in front of people and selling it and being strategic and really like shaking that apple tree for all of it, all it's worth, that part often doesn't happen. It's the follow-up, it's the back end type of thing that often doesn't happen. Now, if this is you and you're going, oh my gosh, that's me, please don't take this as a criticism. Please don't be judging yourself. Like, all of us are guilty of this. All of us are so guilty of this because that is often the part that feels the most uncomfortable when we actually have to put ourselves out there and we think we're inconveniencing people, or we think we're annoying people, or we think, you know, or we just don't know what we don't know. We don't know that there could be more stuff done on the back end. We don't realize that collaboration and relationships are like, you know, rocket fuel or ads or whatever it is. So many of us are not coming from a business background that we just haven't done this before. And when you start a business and you put yourself out there, You have to wear all of the hats, right? You have to wear all of the hats. All of a sudden, not only are you just the service provider or the coach or whatever it is that you do, now all of a sudden you are the CEO, you're the bookkeeper, you're the marketer, you're the operations, you're the administration. Like, you've had to learn all of these other skills that in other companies are full-time jobs, are full-time jobs. And again, that's kind of what we see when we look at businesses online and we can compare ourselves to their results. We don't realize all of those back-end systems that have been built, the team that supports them, the amount that they've spent on advertising, like all of that is unseen. And so if you don't know what is there, you can't replicate it. You're not going to even imagine that there's so many more pieces. Like if you had a kitchen with 10 cooks in it, imagine the food that could come out, and you're in the kitchen kind of trying to feed 100 people, and it's just you and, you know, the sauce is burning and like all of that, because you still have life. You still have life to live. So you can't be full-time in your business. And by full-time, I mean like every waking minute. You can't be in your business every waking minute. At least, you know, you shouldn't be, because that's, again, not going to last very long. Isn't a long-term view. So just, I encourage you to really look at the data, really look at what are you judging your decision on? Are you cutting things too short? Are you pulling the pin prematurely because you're looking at those surface level things? Like, oh, well, I put this post out to my, you know, 300 followers and then I didn't get any inquiries, or just I had a few people like it, or whatever it is. Not really going deeper and going, what more could I do? How else could I leverage this? And getting really strategic around that. So that's the thing I see people doing the most, is pulling the pin too early. Another thing that I see people doing is adding things in too early as well. Now, I always give the analogy of the buckets, right? Having buckets in front of you and having your energy as the garden hose. And if you're trying to fill up three buckets at a time, then those three buckets are going to fill up pretty slowly. And the overflow of the water is the result. You're not going to get to overflow point very quickly. It's going to take you three times as long to get to overflow point if you're trying to fill up three buckets. Whereas if you have one bucket and you're filling it up and your focus is there, then the overflow is going to be pretty fast, right? That is how it is when we're adding things on in business. And so again, really make sure that you know this before you add things in and judge the results of the first thing prematurely. Now, again, I really want to emphasize though, there's no right or wrong. If you know that you want three services as part of what you're doing, maybe you want one-on-one coaching, maybe you want a membership, maybe you want a mastermind, and you want all three of those things, and you've been focusing on the membership, and that's not growing as fast as you want. And so you're going, okay, I'm going to add in one-on-one coaching, and or I'm going to add in, you know, I'm going to try this model, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do e-commerce, or I'm going to do a low-value product. Like, it can be really tempting to go, well, that's not working very fast, so I'm just going to move over here. And again, it comes back to that feeling good with strategy and creativity and doing all of the easy behind the scenes stuff that isn't super uncomfortable. And that's where we default, right? That's where we default. And again, please don't do any, like, don't feel bad if you've done this. Please don't feel bad. Just use it as a bit of a light bulb to go, okay. Now I understand, like, now I can change my decisions moving forward. If you feel like you want to change your decisions, if not, and you know, hang on, no, I really want a business that has a membership and one-on-one coaching and a mastermind. So I'm going to build them all now, and I'm going to strategically split my time between the three of them. And I'm okay with slow growth. And guess what? That's amazing. That's amazing, because as long as you realize that you're splitting your time, so it's going to take three times as long, and you're okay with that, and you're building that momentum slowly, like, you know, compound interest on a bank account, it's just time. It's just time and repetition and doing the work and showing up. And like my mentor, Callie Roach, has said for years, you know, she was my mentor years ago. She says, like, just do the reps. You've got to show up for your business like a business, like an athlete. Hang on, to show up for your business like an athlete does for their sport, right? You have to run the reps. You have to keep running the reps. And it's so true, but we don't want to run the reps. We just want to like go, oh yeah, I can shoot the basketball. Like, why have I not won the game? Well, because that's not how it works. So again, it's fine if you want to split your time, if you want multiple products, if you have different things that light you up and you want to work, you know, then, and you want to build everything first and then go out and market it. Totally fine. Is that the quickest way to profit? No. Does that mean it's wrong? No. But just be aware of what you're actually doing, of the consequence of your decisions and what that means, and which one is better for you. Is it better for you? Like, for example, I love art. I love to paint. I love photography. Like, I love art. And actually I wanted to be an artist, and I got told that you couldn't make money as an artist. I was like, okay, fine. I want to work in an office. And so I did a business degree with marketing, and I was fine with that, because I was like, I really want to work in the city, and I want to work in it. Like, you know, that's what I really wanted to do. I'm like, I don't know exactly what job I want, but I know I need a business degree, and marketing seems the best one out of, you know, accounting and whatever it was. And then I looked at the subjects for a business degree, and the first year was economics and accounting and statistics, and like, I can't even remember the other one. Like, I wanted to poke my eyes out. I was like, I am going, because I didn't like math, like, I am going to die. Like, if that's all I am going to study, I'm going to die. And it's a 3-year course. Like, I can't deal with 3 years of that. So what I did is I decided to do a double degree, business and art. So I'd get an extra degree, but it meant an extra year. And guess what? I was fine with that, because it meant that my first year then included, yes, business, statistics, and economics, but I had an art subject in there, so that every week I was doing some art and I was learning things that I loved, and that made the rest of it tolerable for the first couple of years before you do actual marketing stuff. And so that was my trade-off, right? I decided, no, I want both, and I would rather it take longer, but I want both. And that's what I did. And I don't regret that at all. But it's kind of like that in business, right? If you want to add something in, that's fine. It's going to take longer. Does that work for you? Is that going to light you up more because you get to do the one-on-one coaching and the group stuff at the same time, and you get different things, and you get, you know, fulfilled from different things in different ways? Fantastic. It's the same too with like having a part-time job or something like that. You're going, great, I get to have the money and my bills paid over here, and then I get to play and be creative. Is it going to take you longer? Probably, than if you were in it full-time. Does that matter? Not necessarily, only if you decide that it does. So remember that when you're adding things in. It's the same with like, okay, I might do a podcast now, or I might do this. Like, your energy is going to be split. And so does that make it wrong automatically? No, it totally doesn't. Just know that your energy is going to be split. And so if you know that and you go, no, that's what I actually want, then perfect, amazing. It's your business. There are no rules. There are just principles and trade-offs. There's always going to be a trade-off for anything. Like, if you decide to put your prices up, great. Then you put your prices up, you get paid more, you have more money for less clients. Does that mean that you're going to get more no's? Potentially. It might mean that you get more no's. Is that a trade? Are you okay with the trade-off? Fantastic. It's your business. So I really want to empower you to make the decisions that are right for you in line with your goals. If your goal is like fast cash, you know, not even fast cash, because that sounds really, again, we're not dealing with super, we don't want any get rich quick stuff. And even that's kind of not even a thing. But if you have certain revenue goals that you're looking to achieve, then there are certain things that you can do to get you there quicker. Now, does that mean that those things are the only way that you should be building your business? No, it doesn't, because maybe those things don't make you as happy as doing it slower and doing it in a way that, you know, has products and things that light you up more than high ticket products might. So please just be empowered to make decisions, but I want you to really think about why you're making the decisions and what the trade-off is and what the consequences are of you making those decisions. So with that, when we question, also we need to question our feelings, our emotions, and the reasons why we're making certain decisions, because often they can be wrong, right? And we just think, oh, this is what I believe, this is how I feel. But what I've come to learn is that actually that's not always the case. And so I encourage you to get really introspective when you are making a big decision, because we might be feeling a certain way. So for example, I used to run a program that was a really super high touch program that helped people with to DIY their own marketing. And we had people at all different levels of business, and my whole marketing team was in on the calls. And so there was a call for Facebook ads and a call for copywriting and a call for social media, and, you know, different team members took different calls. There were so many calls per week. And what I thought at the time was annoying me was repeating myself over little things that I would just get asked the same question again and again. And now I can see, as we're redesigning some of our programs, I can see that actually that wasn't the problem, right? If I had asked myself, if I had been introspective more then maybe I wouldn't have changed that program the way that I changed it. What I'm realizing now, it's actually more not the fact that the program was broken. I think the program was actually brilliant and I love it. And we are bringing some of those components more into some of our programs. So if you want to know more about that, let me know. But the reason is I just realized that the type of person that we were allowing into the program in some cases was the wrong type of person. Right, we had too many industries in there. We had everyone from e-commerce to service providers to coaches. It was such a broad spectrum, because yes, we can help people, and the people on my team have come from places like, you know, luxury e-commerce brands and, you know, all of that. And so yes, we could help everybody, but was that a good idea given, like, it just allowed too much. I realize now that it allowed too much scope for variability and in terms of the types of questions that were being asked. And it took me outside of my zone of genius, because my zone of genius is not e-commerce. And so yes, can I help people in e-commerce? Totally, to a certain point, and a lot of, you know, I sell things online, but it's not product-based e-commerce is not my zone of genius at all. Do I know more than the average person? Probably. Am I an expert? Definitely not. My expertise lies in lead generation and service provider marketing and coaching, you know, in information product marketing. That's what I am excellent at. And that's where all of my incredible testimonials are from that area. So because all I heard myself saying was I don't like being asked these types of questions. Like, you know, this is uncomfortable. This is annoying. This is draining me. These calls are draining me. We're just going to pull the pin on that. If I'd really gotten more introspective at the time and thought, like, what is it exactly that is draining me? Then I would have realized that it wasn't the amount of calls at all. And it wasn't even the level that clients were at. It was really having too many different types of clients. Now, you know, a few years later, I can see that, because now I'm asking better questions. And so learn from my mistakes and ask really good questions about why you feel a certain way. So at the time I did, I was like, why am I feeling a certain way? And I'm like, oh, because I'm getting asked the same questions over and over again. And they're really, you know, quite beginner questions. And there's people at such a broad spectrum. That's what I thought. But what I've learned now is to dig deeper and to ask, is that really true? Right? Even just that simple question, is that really true? And for me, I like to journal on it because my brain works in a different way when I journal, or I'm moving my body in some way, like I'm going for a walk or I'm swimming in the pool or something like that. For me, if I say, is it really true? Then I can dig. It's like it just helps drop in more and really listen to my intuition and how I'm actually feeling. And it means I don't just run away, or I don't just take how I'm feeling surface level and run with that, because I'm an action taker, right? So as soon as I feel something and I decide, like, okay, I'm done. Whereas I've learned to take a little bit more time now and really question my feelings, not just say, okay, how am I feeling about this? What am I doing? And take action, but no, go, okay, how are you feeling like this? Is that really true? Is there anything deeper, you know, and ask deeper questions and dig down before making a decision. What can also help here is asking mentors, asking other people. And by asking other people, you can get their opinions and add it to how you're feeling, and then decide what you're going to put on the shelf and what you're going to delete and what you're going to take forward and maybe adjust what you're thinking. But there's a great trick with this too, is sometimes you don't even need to ask people. You can just have a few people in your mind that you respect, that you admire, that you maybe hold in high regard, and you can ask yourself, what would this person do? And this could even be someone you don't even know, right? This might be someone that you listen to. This might be someone that you know from television. This might be someone that you've read their book. But you can ask yourself, what would this person do? And by journaling on that as well, you might just stay still enough in the uncomfortable feeling to really examine what the truth is and not just do it based on surface level feeling at the time. Because we can all be guilty of this. I know I gave the example of myself with that certain program. I was definitely guilty of that in that time. And I'm sure there are other times as well. And I think we can all do that. No, I feel a certain way. No, I'm going to quit. No, I'm going to, I'm going to change it. No, I'm going to fire that person. No, I need to hire somebody, And all of these split decisions, I think quick decisions are really great. But I think too, we need to ask ourselves, why am I feeling this way? And get clear on why you're feeling that way before you make the quick decision. Because what our brain tells ourselves is not always actually the truth. Another thing before we make decisions that we can ask is, how can we be happy now? How can I be happy now, like in this scenario? Because sometimes we make a decision because we think it's going to make us happier. But in truth, happiness should be not dictated by external circumstances very much, and it actually isn't. And so if we ask ourselves, how can I be happy now? Maybe it's not deleting something. Maybe it's not, adding something. Maybe it's not something that's going to take time. Maybe it's a small shift that will allow you more time back. Maybe it's like, oh, actually, if I just get my husband to look after the kids for 3 hours, then I'll be able to work on this thing, and then I'll feel like I'm moving forward, and that's going to make me happy. Maybe it's, oh, I just need a staff member to take this one call for me so that I get my Tuesday mornings back and I can go to the gym. Like, it doesn't always have to be this really big thing that we want to change because we're feeling impatient. Maybe there's just a small tweak that we can make. Another question that kind of aligns with that is, how can things be easy, or how can things be simple? Because often we really try and overcomplicate things. And sometimes, like I said, it's just a small tweak that can make a difference. Or we try and add too many things in because we think that that's what professionals do, right? And often that's not the case. Often What's true is that the pros do a few things really well and don't spread themselves too thin. Like they're just really, really great at a few things that they want to be known for. And a simple structure is always going to be easier, because even if you're going to say, how can things be easy? Even the easy version is embedded in life. And so life is complicated. Life is life, right? We aren't robots. It's unpredictable, stuff happens. So if we already have a complicated structure, or we're adding lots of things in, and if this, then that, and, you know, and then I'm going to have these four things here, and then I'm going to move them over to here, and all leading to this one product that you could have just gone lead magnet product done. But instead we're adding all of these bits and pieces that we think that they need. Then there's so much more room for error and stress and so many more holes in the bucket. And so ask yourselves those questions again before we change things. How can I be happy now? How can things be easy, or how can things be simple? Whichever kind of word that works that you align with better. And do it that way. Please do it that way, the simple way, because there is no need to complicate it. And I used to do this all the time, right? When I first got started in marketing and I learned about funnels, and I thought, oh, okay, first, great. First, I'm going to send them to a blog, and then that's going to pixel them. So when they go to the blog post, they're going to get the pixel. And then I'm going to show them the lead magnet. Like anyone who goes to the website and reads that blog, I'm going to give them an ad. And though that ad is going to direct them to a lead magnet, and then from the lead magnet, I'm going to try and sell them a, you know, $150 product. And then they're going to go to my email list. And then eventually I'm going to invite them to my higher ticket program, right? All such a big mess. All such a big mess. Not a big mess. It's fine if that's what you need. But if you don't need that, and what I found is I didn't need that, because all I needed was an application form, right? I just had needed a form with that was an app, like the ad was just an application form, and people would book a consult and then they would buy. And if the shortest version works, then why are we doing the complicated version? And there's so many, like I've worked on so many campaigns over the year where this is true. And don't go out and just do an application form. Please, like, really look at what your business is and speak with someone and, you know your business. But it's just an example of how simple it could be. But instead, I was trying to add in all of these different things because it was fun and, you know, creative, and I knew you could, and I was excited about learning Facebook ads and all of this stuff. But it wasn't necessary. And it just took people on this really long journey when all they wanted was a solution to their problem. I've done this before too, in having certain programs linked to big 10-day events, when just, you know, a 20-minute video sales letter would have sufficed and got them on the call. So do your clients want to be taken through this big 10-day journey, or do they want like a 20-minute video just tell them enough to allow them to book a call? So how can it be easy or simple for you? How can it be easy or simple? All right, last one is enjoy the phases of business, right? If we're feeling impatient, if we want to change things, remember what we talked about right back at the start, is that the cycle of the earth, like the earth works in cycles, and I've spoken about this before, but if you can think about your business in terms of the seasons, they don't have to match to the seasons, they don't have to be the same duration as the seasons, but if you can think about your business in terms of the seasons, then you'll realize that that's how you actually get the best results, is by allowing yourself all of like the full cycle, rather than just go, 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 and then collapse, or, you know, end up in burnout. Think about it in terms of summer, autumn, winter, and spring. Summer might be your sprint, right? You're launching, you're going really hard, you're building systems, you're hiring team, like whatever that might be. Summer might be your sprint, like the equivalent. Autumn, from then you've been sprinting, you're going to need to rest, right? Rest, enjoy the harvest. Like that's really important in business, to not be sprinting all the time. Winter, maybe you're pruning things. Maybe that's when you're cleaning up and you're looking at the data going, okay, that worked, that didn't work. Let's do more of this. Let's do less of that. Let's prune back here. This team member's not working. Like, what is the pruning look like? Maybe you're getting rid of clients. Maybe, you know, you're shifting programs, but it's not, it's part of the cycle. It's not just all the time. And spring. Maybe this is the coasting. This is the reps. This is when you're doing the same thing over and over and over. And that can get challenging because it can get boring, right? We get so bored in today's society when it's like this new thing. And we're always looking for that quick fix and that thing that's a bit different. And again, asking yourself that question, how can I be happy now? And how can I design my business so that I love showing up day after day after day? And it's like building that snowball. It's like the compound interest, right? Things grow slowly. Once you have your plan, your 12-week plan, it only works by doing those things again and again and again. That's how it works. That's what gets the results, is actually doing those little actions day after day after day. It's going to the gym and doing that leg workout and doing that leg workout and doing that leg workout that gets the muscle. It's not just a one-off, and you can't just go for 3 months and then not go at all, right? It's consistency. So how can you make that exciting? How can you make that fun? Because sometimes when that's not fun, we look at the result and we think that might be a problem, and we fix the wrong problem. Like in my example with the program, right? I fixed the wrong problem. I got rid of all of the calls because I thought it was the calls that were draining me, but it wasn't the calls that were draining me necessarily. Maybe it was the content of what was in the calls that was draining me. So really, by using this structure and getting really introspective, we'll make sure that we really identify what the problem actually is, so we don't fix the wrong problem and always be iterating and going, but business isn't working and I just doesn't feel good and whatever that story is that we're telling ourselves. So just to kind of recap, if you're feeling impatient, if you want to change things, don't cut things. Number one, don't cut too short, right? Don't cut things too prematurely. Really look at the data. Make sure you're making the decision based on the right factors. Number two, don't add things in at the wrong time. Really make sure that you're aware of why it is that you are doing that. Oh, I lost video. Okay, video's back. So let's just do a recap. Number one is don't cut things too short, right? Don't judge things too early. Make sure that you're looking at the data. Number two is when you're adding things in, realize what the trade-off is and make sure you're doing that at the right time and you don't just default there because you are bored or you think that things aren't working. Number three is question your feelings. Really dig in deep. Why do you feel that way? Is that really true? How can we be happy now? How can things be easy? And number four is enjoy the phases. Enjoy sprinting in summer. Enjoy resting in autumn. Enjoy pruning in winter and coasting in spring. And by that, I don't mean like the actual physical seasons. I mean, build those seasons into your business. And maybe, you know, your sprinting summer is like 2 months and then your rest is only a week, totally fine. I might question the week rest and maybe building those in a few more of those in, but you get the point, right? Enjoy the phases in business as we enjoy the seasons in life, because that's where the richness is and that's where the sustainability lies. And that is what is actually going to allow you to still be here for as long as you still want to be here. So that is it, my friends. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that this encourages you and kind of moves you back on the right track in terms of your planning and allowing, you know, giving yourself permission to make the decisions that you're making and question the decisions that you're making and how you're feeling and all of that. If you'd like to chat about any of it, then feel free to send me an email, or that's info@annaliesvaughan.com, or say hi on Instagram. I love chatting on Instagram. So that's it from me. Have a wonderful week and I'll see you on the next one. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Mum Style Business Podcast. Two things you should know. First, come and join the party. I'm live with free marketing training inside the Social Marketing Method Facebook group every single week. This is where you can ask questions and get the answers that you need to simplify your strategy and amplify your income. Go to annalisewarn.com/group and join and network there with incredible women, an incredible community of like-minded business owners. Now, second, if you have got any value from this episode, please, please, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and share it out on your socials. Your support helps us to reach more women in business and inspire them to increase our impact in the world. So thank you, thank you, thank you, and I will see you next week.